Oh, they've been signed up, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Huh?
Dan, is this gonna suffice for me tonight? You gonna let the car put my jacket on, or?
What's that?
I said, well, I suffice the dress code tonight, I got a jacket in my car.
Well, you could wear my jacket.
And a tie. And a tie.
A tie and a jacket.
If not, I'll get one of my shoelaces.
I have an extra bowl of tie.
I got some shoelaces, they're long enough.
Actually, I should keep my mouth shut here, I need help with my computer.
Gabe just got an iPhone.
From a flip phone.
What?
And just for the rest of us, go ahead and check out.
But he was piecing together from a flip phone.
She called it, so she
said. Thank you.
Sounds like your dad, for sure.
Yeah. He liked, and now he's...
My watch shows 6:15, so we call our monthly meeting to order here. The first order of business is roll call. I look about me and I see everyone is here except for Supervisor Balski, who called in and said she'd not be available, so she can be listed as excused. Citizens' comments.
And,
go ahead.
Report of the Yudin government missing.
Yes, good point. Any correspondence?
I did not have any.
I didn't have any. Who is the mentor?
I am.
Okay.
We did discuss it at PDEC. It did sound like PDEC will be sending a letter to the youth in question pending her attendance tonight.
Okay, very well. On to item two, citizens' comments. Are there any citizens in the audience who would like to make a comment? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Chairman's supervisor's comments. I do not have any specific comments at this time. Any supervisors would like to make a comment? Supervisor Nudo.
Okay, we had the meeting over at Brookside yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you a little of what's going
sure.
on there, everything is going pretty good between Brookside and Willowbrook. We are in the positive right now.
Okay.
And Willowbrook is full capacity.
So that's a total of 24, is that
total
right?
Total of 24, and there is a waiting list right now.
Okay.
Which is a big improvement from when we started.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Well, that's good. And if you care to, if you want to bring that up during our county board meeting, that'd be a good thing to bring up because we know Willowbrook had been a little bit slow to fill. And to say that we're capacity now there's a waiting list, that certainly is a positive.
Sure.
Yeah. Any other supervisors' comments? Seeing none, we're on to item number three. Approval of minutes of December 3rd, 2019. Entertain a motion to approve.
Motion.
Supervisor Berg approves.
Second.
Moves. Second by Supervisor Celebrate. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none. Motion passes. We're on to item number five, which is resolution to approve appointment of Jen Freiheit as Director of Kenosha County Division of Health. Who is handling this?
I will.
Thank you, Clara.
Good evening, Chairman Brady and supervisors. So we are looking to seek the approval of appointment of Jennifer Freiheit, that is the pronunciation of her last name, Freiheit, as the Director of Division of Health. Ms. Freiheit is here and can introduce herself.
Great, thank you all, Chair and members, thank you for having me. Yes, Freiheit is German for freedom, and that is how you pronounce it. I've had 17 years broad public health experience here in Wisconsin, have worked at the state health department and also at the regional and local health department level. Throughout the southeastern region of Wisconsin. I received my bachelor's in health education, and after realizing that health education and teachers don't make the salary that I was hoping for, I went on to receive my master's degree in wellness management, and that is like public health only with a MBA minor, a business focus. And that's right after 9/11, I moved to Wisconsin and started working at the State Health Department. And the Wisconsin's a home rule state. The authority rests at the local health department level, and the rubber meets the road at the local level. So I came to work at, for Milwaukee Waukesha Consortium, which it was 14 local health departments, a regional entity under a preparedness grant. Worked there till about 2011, and then went on to receive my doctorate. My doctorate's in administrative leadership from UWM in Milwaukee. And had three children, received my doctorate, maintained a consulting firm, still keeping my hand in public health throughout that time. And then most recently working at the City of Milwaukee Health Department before coming here to Kenosha, which I'm very excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
So just give us a little bit of a background. Your tenure in Milwaukee was from approximately when to when?
It was October 1st of 2018 mm-hmm. to August 23rd of 2019.
Okay.
Almost 11 months.
Okay. And then we see a recommendation here written by Jeffrey R. Swain from Grafton. Does this have to do with your tenure at City of Milwaukee, or is this different than that? Or?
That plus more. I had worked with him before in my other public health roles.
I see.
And then he was also on my doctoral committee when I was defending my dissertation.
Okay.
And then throughout the City of Milwaukee Health Department time, yes.
So you actually knew him prior to City of Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
Open it up to committee.
I just have a question. Maybe I misunderstood. I believe you say you started there in 2018?
Yes.
But I know the chairman has been saying 10 years there, so it's only like a year you have been in Milwaukee, correct? You have been there for 1 year?
I was at the City of Milwaukee Health Department for about 11 months.
11 months. I believe you had said 10 years.
Right, 2018 to 2019.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
Maybe I misunderstood, but I thought you were saying 10 years.
No.
Okay. Okay. And you are doing the same line of work?
Yeah, in public health and administrative level.
Any other committee members' comments? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm just going to start off, dive right into it. I'm sure you've been told by staff that we did receive the article from the Journal Sentinel. And I think with that, after Supervisor Burke sent it to myself from there, I can't speak for the others on the committee, but I have to do my due diligence. And so I did a little bit of reaching out from or to the City of Milwaukee, and then worked with administration here in Kenosha County. So we did get these two letters of support for you tonight, and then I did get some documents from the City of Milwaukee. The first one, I don't know if you have a copy of it in front of you. I can get you one if you need one. The first one is a memo from Dr. Kowalik, if I'm pronouncing her name right. Regarding your performance, and I just wanted to ask some questions about it. We're going to skip to page 2, and we're going to go to number 3. It reads, staff complaints. On May 24th, I met with 3 Milwaukee Health Department employees, which expressed great concern about you and your integrity. The staff complained about you lying about situations, but then facts revealed otherwise. Feeling intimidated by you and not comfortable to discuss issues without retaliation from you, and even sending a screenshot of one of our texts to show that I made the decision and was passing the buck. The staff indicated that they lost respect in administration due to this, and goes on to say that you are unable or unwilling to be accountable for your actions, and this is reminiscent of the old administration. Can you just speak to that?
First of all, I appreciate you doing your due diligence. I would be just as concerned if the roles were reversed. So this component, this particular component, I was not given details as to exactly what that meant, and so I really didn't have any basis to go on. All of my direct reports I had excellent relationships with. I would even go so far to say that as a manager, you sometimes have to perform discipline, and I had 2 employees on performance improvement plans, and even those relationships were very cordial, very respectful, and have since contacted me saying Kenosha's lucky to have you and that sort of thing. So I am not sure of the basis of that, but I had excellent relationships with staff.
Okay. And then I want to hit on two. I mean, and with that, I mean, can you, if your Dr. Kowalik was sitting with us tonight, what do you think she would have to say for your time with the city of Milwaukee?
I can't purport what she would say, but I am very comfortable with my performance at the city of Milwaukee. I learned a lot while there. I have nothing ill to say about the city of Milwaukee, and I'm just really looking forward to working for Kenosha County and driving the health department forward.
Moving on, I want to go with the same document. It's all stapled together, or I guess this is a second document. This is a meeting evaluation. I want to focus first on number two, communication skills. If I'm reading this correctly, this is not a document I've seen before. I just received this today. It looks like the employee scores themselves, and then their superior kind of goes back and gives them their opinion as well. Is that correct?
Right. This is not a formal performance appraisal by any means, but this was the language that was written that you can see that looks sort of bolded, must have come from whatever source this document came from.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it was more or less just an informal conversation of these various topics and how we thought we were performing.
Okay. So, but I am correct then. It seems, or it would show that because at the top it says one being least, five being superior, communication skills. It looks to me like you rated yourself a four.
Correct.
Okay. And yours, I'm blanking on a name. Dr. Kowalik rated you a 2.5 or a 3.
Correct.
Okay. Do you feel like that was? I mean, I know you rated yourself a 4. Is there some basis that you understand where she was coming, or did she explain to you why she gave you a 2.5?
No, in fact, I didn't get her scores until later when she typed them in and sent it to me, but we did talk about more experience with the media, and I think there was, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I remember the media piece.
Okay. So here in Kenosha County, I like to think we pride ourselves on having a very well-run health and human services.
Mm-hmm.
And that was reiterated to me from some individuals from the city of Milwaukee. I did have the chance to speak with some folks over the phone. And they did say that Milwaukee is going through a rebuilding phase for their health department. And they look at Kenosha County as a model. So I just want to be sure that communication skills isn't going to be something that hinders you here, or if it is something that you think you could or need to work on, that you're not going to be scared to reach out and reach out to those, you know, above or around you to say, hey, look, you know, maybe I'm new at this, or I don't, you know, I'm not quite sure how we do things in the past. You know, how do we kind of want to go about these? That's a concern for me, too. So I just, if you could hit on that a little bit.
Sure. I pride myself on my communication skills. I have a open door policy. I'm very transparent. I have staff here today even that can attest just in my month's time here of I send out weekly emails, have very strict communication chain of command from the leadership team through all of the staff. And, of course, I am very humbled and to be able to reach out to mentors. I've reached out to Clara, to John, to Jenny anytime I have a question, and I have a lot to learn with Kenosha County, not being from here, so definitely I will be doing a lot of reaching out and listening and learning, and hopefully with each of you at some point as well, too.
Okay. Fiscal management, you scored well. Dr. Kowalik agreed with you there. Initiative and creativity, you scored well there as well. I do want to hit on, and I don't mean to be bouncing around, but I do want to hit on the first document, this memo. I believe it was in here somewhere. There was a budget that needed to be put together, and by the sounds of it, it was kind of put off. Can you explain that?
True. The entire time I worked at the city of Milwaukee, we were virtually without a fiscal director, a fiscal manager. And I'm not an accountant, but I was overseeing that division. We had two brand new accounts underneath what would have been the fiscal manager. We were all brand new. We had never gone through a City of Milwaukee budget. The City of Milwaukee Health Department's budget was about $20 million. And from February, I was asking the budget office, we need help. We have no idea what forms to fill out. Initial forms were due in May. It was finally toward the 11th hour that we received some help from a former budget office employee who actually came, because we never did receive that formal training about how to fill out and complete the budget. So that was a gray area for me, not being from an accountant's world and knowing exactly what needed to happen. But we got it done in time, and it was accepted, and there were no ill comments about it.
For sure.
And I can add, Supervisor Rodriguez, that Aaron Sapinski, who's mm-hmm. talked about in this, that provided assistance, was a reference and gave a glowing recommendation.
And then I want to hit on, too, when you were with the City of Milwaukee, how many people did you have directly reported to yourself?
At one point in time, it was 14 people, and then it varied. It varied between 7 and 14.
Okay, and with this current position, how many will you have reported to yourself here at Kenosha County?
Right now, there are 4.
Okay. I think you've answered enough of my questions. Again, due diligence. A question to Clara, is this an at-will employment, or is this a contract, or what does this look like?
It's at-will employment.
Okay. I'm willing to give a shot, leap of faith. The county executive did speak highly of you. His chief of staff conveyed that to me. Administration spoke highly of you. Mr. John Jansen spoke highly of you as well when I spoke with him over the phone. Again, I think it's our biggest duty here to ask the questions. Should this not work out in the future, and I don't see as to why it wouldn't, but should it not, I would hope that administration, John, HR, they would come back to the county board and say, we need some sort of change here. But I think I'm ready to give you the shot. At least I can't speak for the rest of the committee here. But I'm just hoping that I don't see a letter like this coming to you in the near future, and I would hate to see the Kenosha News or the Journal doing another piece like that. I mean, it happens when you're in public life. People write stories about you. So best of luck to you. You've got my support tonight. Thank you for answering my questions. Thank you, Clara. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, John, for providing documents, things like that.
Thank you, Supervisor Rodriguez. Any further comments, Supervisor comments, questions?
Yeah, I just have just a couple comments, okay? One is, I know that Zach spoke about the score or whatever, which is between 1 and 5. Well, I mean, that pretty much is 3, I believe 1-4 or something like that, which to me shows that it's pretty, I feel comfortable with that, because some people, they like to score low. For myself, very, very seldom that I give a top score, you know where I go with that. So I think I'm pretty pleased with that. Then another comment that I want to make, at least, is this not direct to, can I call you Jennifer?
Jen.
I don't want to kill your last name.
It's
you
okay.
know?
Jen's
if
fine.
It was Italian, I would not have a problem. But German, I don't know. I just want to make this comment. I met it before, and I'm going to make it again. You started the job about a month ago, correct? Any time that the county board has to approve any positions, I would like to come to the county board before the job is filled. Again, that has nothing to do with you right now, but I want to go basically on record that I did not change my position from before. I did express that opinion, and I will do it again.
Any other supervisor comments?
Yeah, I'll throw it real quick. Resident had sent an email to me, and that's why I shared it with the rest of the committee on that article. A couple of questions. In terms of communication, was there a communication problem or a communication issues when you had gotten to Milwaukee? Was it pretty? It sounds like there was not a proper left seat, right seat type of training, and I bring that term from the military. When you, in terms of the budget, it sounds like you I had to kind of scramble and get other people's help. But was there a communication issues?
There's communication issues everywhere. But, I mean, the city of Milwaukee, prior to my coming on board, had undergone some turmoil. Mm-hmm. And it was widely known. It was in the media at the time. And so I was brought on as a change agent to help with reorganization and to help with some of that. So,
okay. So yeah, I can understand pushback because part of one of the quotes in here is this is reminiscent of the old administration. So it sounds like there's some negativity from the past, and sometimes there's pushback from subordinates, if you want to say. Yeah, I think that's all I have. I'm comfortable with approving this for tonight.
Further questions, comments by board members here?
I have just one, please.
David?
You don't have to answer this if it's violating anything, but is there any litigation pending on this?
No. Nothing further.
And just my own comments are to you, Clara, in terms of having the time to do due diligence, vetting, you've seen some of the positives, some of the negatives. Do you feel comfortable you've had your basic opportunity and you're comfortable with the entire situation?
Absolutely.
I assume
yes.
You would be. That's right here.
Yes.
JJ, same thing?
Yes.
Just as a matter of touching upon the specifics, as was highlighted earlier, this is an at-will employment. Okay, and who will Ms. Freiheit report to directly? To you?
Yes.
Okay. I think that satisfies my questions and comments. Seeing nothing else immediately in the future, I'd ask for a motion to approve Jen Freiheit.
Second.
Supervisor Nudo makes the motion, seconded by Supervisor Rodriguez. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, cast it carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is the presentation by Lindsay Sarauer. Kenosha Racine. Lead-free or lead-free?
Lead-free. Lead-free community partnership. Thank you for having me. So I'll just do, I know that everything was sent out to you in regards to this. So we are, let me just grab my notes real quick. We are a, too far here. We are a federally funded lead hazard demonstration grant that we have. We're in our fifth grant cycle currently with the Kenosha County. We are currently in a grant that started in April of 2018, and we are going until April of 2021. It is a three-year grant period time, and so we are looking to probably reapply within this next grant cycle once the next NOFA comes out this next year. Sometime this year to then start. We kind of like to coordinate and make a smooth transition. Once we're done with in April 2021, we'll start another grant at that point. So what we're doing is we have $3.3 million from HUD's Office of Lead and Healthy Homes. And we are going into homes within Racine and Kenosha counties and doing work in low-income housing to remediate lead hazards. Within that five grant cycle, since 2007, we've gone into homes in about between Racine and Kenosha counties in about 1,200 homes between the two counties. In this $3.3 million, we also have a pot of Healthy Homes Supplemental Funding, which is a different pot of money that goes to helping eliminate hazards in the homes, like handrails. Putting in carbon monoxide detectors, smoke alarms, fixing railings, anything that might be a hazard to the home. The grant goals are the inspections, completed units, outreach activities, training sessions, money spent. We have developed a dynamic program model through all these grant cycles that are working with the Kenosha and Racine partnering communities to help eliminate lead hazards within the communities. Yes, sir.
So do you have a map that shows what houses you've gone into and removed lead paints or anything like that?
I do. I can pull that up if you'd like. It's updated. I have a mapping of the last grant cycle. I've been on board for about 2.5 years, so I have a mapping of Kenosha and Racine counties of and where we have throughout this last grant cycle, mm-hmm. and then I have DHS mapping, but it's outdated to 2009, I think, is the last time that DHS did a mapping of Kenosha and Racine areas with EBLs. And I did reach out to them prior to this meeting and asked for more updated, and they are in the midst of doing more updated mapping of these areas to show. I can pull those up to show you the significant difference between the Kenosha and Racine counties, if you'd like.
So I guess I got a couple of questions. That is, I don't want to prolong the...
No, it's all right.
I just want to make sure we're not spending money in one house to remove lead paint, and then 10 years later we're removing lead paint from that same house.
Some of the work that I'll get into is some of the work that we're doing is abatement work, and then it's interim work. So the interim work is only a temporary fix to the lead hazards that we're dealing with in the homes, and then abatement work is actually fixing it completely and removing it completely. Some the houses that we're going into are going to be considered lead safe. They're not going to be considered lead free. So every house that we go into and do work and we put money towards through this grant is never going to be considered lead free. Because if let's say this wall right here is we test it and it's positive for lead paint. If it doesn't have a hole in it, it's not deteriorating, we won't do anything to it because it's not a hazard. Until you start making a hazard out of it and putting holes in it and things like that and windows that are a hazard, we won't touch it. So the home will never be lead free completely.
I guess I'm just looking at how many times are... Making sure we're not going in a home like a second time.
Correct. Well, through the grant, we're not allowed to go back into a home, and typically we're not allowed to go back into the home within that grant cycle to do work anyway. We have gone back into certain homes and certain neighborhoods where we've done some work again. We just can't count that unit as a completed unit towards our goals. But we don't do that all the time. We rarely do that, and it's in certain circumstances where we're going in those questionable neighborhoods and those houses that there's an EBL there. So those homes have to satisfy orders from the health department to get those orders lifted. And so these landlords reach out to us again to go back into the home to fix it for the time being. But a lot of it is a tenant landlord situation where they just need to upkeep the property. But some of these homes are in areas where it's not gonna be.
So how come we're going into landlord homes and not owned homes? Holding the landlord responsible for that.
We hold the landlord responsible.
They have to reimburse?
Yep. They have to pay a 25% of project costs, mm-hmm. to even partake in the program. And we are going into vacant units, owner-occupied units, or rental units. So, and the people that, when we go into a tenant unit, it's everything we're doing is low-income based anyway. So we're going into homes that they have to income qualify for this program. And then to partake in this program, they have to provide a match portion of the project that we have to then turn into for this grant. So
is it I'm sorry to keep asking.
It's okay.
Is it possible to start that different or additional data collecting on which homes are getting grant money for this, or getting repairs, or getting abatement, so that... Maybe we find out in 10 years or 12 years that maybe just abating it to begin with, instead of going in there multiple times over different grant periods, might be more beneficial to do.
Correct.
In the long run.
And as much as we would like to go in and completely replace four walls out of a house, we're restricted to $19,999.99 per unit.
Okay.
Otherwise, then we have to get approval from HUD to spend over for those costs. And then what that happens is when you spend over those certain dollar amounts, and when you're spending $20,000, we have a per cost unit that we've averaged into the grant when we did this grant cycle, that we're at around $9,700 per unit out of the 220 units that we have to utilize for the 3-year grant period.
How much did you say it was? I'm sorry.
How much?
The average cost, it's around $9,700 and something dollars and some odd change.
Thank you.
And they base that off of all the units, I believe, from the prior grant or that time that we ran that grant cycle and the monies at that time. So when I came on board, they weren't finished with the grant at that point. And so, but we were still applying for it. So we took that data up to that point of applying and came up with that average cost at that time. Right now, I believe the average cost is around $10,000-something. But it fluctuates because if you do a certain unit that's higher cost, or you do a four-unit cost, and then you do one project that's $3,000, it kind of averages that out. So
she knows her stuff.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to have a presentation continue at this point. Supervisors, if you have questions, comments, please write them down. Then as time allows, at the end, we'll address them with the remaining time we have. So please carry on with your presentation. Oh,
thank you. So the grant progress to date, we are currently in quarter eight. So our grant quarters are running concurrent with the year. So we are in a January to March quarter right now, which is in our eighth quarter. It typically goes up to 14 quarters, 12 quarters. We're just trying to get to April 2021 and spend all that money before that point. These are expenditures to date, and these are only up until October. That is the last financials that I have that we have submitted to HUD for reimbursement. We've spent $1,711,000. We've done risk assessment lead inspections, which we're going into the homes out of that 300 unit, that 300 risk assessment goal. We have already gone into 165 units and addressed whether there is hazards in those homes. We've completed 113 of the units for this grant already, out of the 220 that need to be completed. Just a little touch on the childhood lead poisoning. Typically what we're doing in this grant is it's focusing on going into homes with children under the ages of 6 because they're at the highest risk for lead poisoning. So with this grant, out of the 220 units, we are only allowed to do 10% of homes that have no children whatsoever residing in the homes. We can go into homes that have visiting grandchildren or nieces, nephews at a certain percentage, and then we can go into those homes as well. But typically we focus on homes that have children under the age of 6, or we have a landlord, if it's a vacant unit, they will sign off saying that they are going to rent to low-income families with children under the age of 6 or pregnant women. So our primary goal for this grant is the lead dust. We're eliminating lead dust hazards. We do not do anything with water. We do not test the water. We do not remediate anything in regards to the water for this grant. We are not allowed to. If we find lead, if there was a lead hazard with a bathtub, we are not allowed to address those hazards. That's part of the grant stipulations. This is one of the things that DHS likes to point out a lot, that little sugar packet for the coffee, say over there, if you spread it around a two-bedroom home, that it would poison a child. And so the dust hazard, if it gets, you know, it's a lot of hand-to-mouth contact, and this is how our children in these areas are getting poisoned because they're living in older housing stock and there's a lot of lead dust, and that's how the children are becoming poisoned. Some of the examples of the lead work, that the hazard reduction work that we would be doing within the homes is replacing and or stabilizing, and that's what we were talking about with interim or abatement. Actual work is replacing operable windows and doors that have tested positive. We're repairing, stabilizing, and painting walls, ceilings, and other surfaces. We've done, like I said, door casing, porches, decks, anything that has come up as a deteriorated surface and is considered damaged. And then just a term, paint stabilization is a process of wet sanding or wet scraping the surface to remove the rough edges. So our contractors, we have a pool of five contractors that we use locally, and they are required to do the work in certain manners. They all hold a certain license. They all carry an environmental insurance policy. They're required to carry so much insurance. They're required to carry a certain certificate of licensing through the Division of Health to be able to do any of the work in our properties. And so we bid out every job that we get within that pool of five contractors. So what we'll do is we will do the risk assessment, we'll identify where all the hazards are, we will write up a scope of work, and then from that scope of work we will invite contractors to four or five houses in one single day and provide them a bid pack for that property. And they will then in turn then return that bid pack with the pricing for all that work to be done. At that point we will go with the lowest contractor and eliminate the highest contractor. It is up to the owner if he wants to go with a higher cost contractor. He just can't go with the most expensive, but he's responsible for those costs. So when I said that they each unit is $19,999.99, they have to pay 25% of that cost, and then they have to pay anything that's over that cost. So if it was a $30,000 project, they also have to come to the table with $10,000 plus the 25%. The healthy homes part of that money, if there's $5,000 worth of healthy homes, they do not have to pay any costs on that 25%. They don't have to pay 25% on that healthy homes money. So that is a free bucket of money that can go towards helping health hazards in those homes. Some of the program eligibility requirements, it's located within the counties of Kenosha and Racine. Like I had said, we give priority to the occupants with children 6 years old living in or spending significant time, pregnant women in residential-based daycare facilities. They have to be low-income based, and they have to prepare the unit before and after, before work begins, because we do relocate every, if there is tenants in a unit, we will relocate them for the time that the contractor is doing any type of interior work.
Is that included in that cost?
No, that is part of, we have partnering within Racine and Kenosha that they cover those costs for us through this grant. They've given us a pot of money to be able to utilize so that we can put tenants up in a hotel for about a week, and then we also give them a meal stipend so that they can, like, we give them a meal via a Visa gift card so they can use that to get food while they're out of the home or back and forth to the hotel if they don't have transportation or things like that. The owner, and this is where the owner comes in, he has to sign all this, the grant application, have no outstanding taxes, 25%, and they can't sell the house within 3 years. So we're trying not to make this so that they can turn it around and flip it. We're making sure that they hold onto the property for 3 years by putting liens on the properties. If they want to get out of the lien, they have to pay back the money less the 25% to get back out of that lien. Some benefits of utilizing the program, lower energy costs, reducing liability for the landlord, improved property value, increased community awareness, it's a neighborhood improvement as well. And then these are going to be some befores and afters of some of the program work that we've done within the communities. And I try to, for Kenosha, when I do Kenosha meetings, I try to do properties that are actually in Kenosha, for the most part. So, and but I try to also like to show you the most dramatic changes that you can see from the work that our contractors have done. So, and so I believe in this case they would have actually replaced, they would have drywalled over all of that, the ceiling, or taken it all down at that point. So these are some historical photos. Well, like I said, I can show a significant difference in the work that what was happening before we came in. And these are high friction impact surface areas where there's going to be a lot of impact, so it's going to create, it's going to be a constant creation of dust and a hazard. So this is a windowsill, and this is typically what we're seeing in windows, and then we completely replace windows. We typically never put in any type of jam line or anything like that. We're completely replacing the window unless it's a historical property, but then we're required to do work in a historical manner by wet scraping and sanding and doing all the work in a manner where we're not replacing any components that will affect the historical value of the home. In this one, we actually put on a porch as well, because I believe it was, you know, it was a healthy home hazard. Some doors are the biggest, another one of the biggest things that we're seeing. Windowsills, we treat every windowsill, the contractors are required to still even stabilize the window, even if they didn't do any type of work to it, to make it pass for clearance.
Very well, thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Committee members, any comments at this point, questions?
Do you have any flyers for this program?
I do. They were in the email that was sent out. I did not, I don't think I brought any on hand, but I do have flyers and I do have brochures. So
I'll come visit.
Okay. but we'll pull up some of that mapping if you'd like to see. So this is lead poisoning, and this is a source, like I said, from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and the red dots indicate children whose blood lead levels are greater than or equal to 10 micrograms per deciliter. And this is, this would be Racine's. So, and this data, I believe, is to 2006, and this one was to 2009. And this, if you can see, is the mapping of the last grant cycle of where the projects were done in the last grant. I tried to make it go as big as the county because we did do a couple properties. Here's one right here. One way out here where we're not typically seeing a lot of work out in the county areas in regards to any type of abatement work. And then this is Racine. So we try to, within the grant, we obviously like to try to keep it as a 50-50, that we're doing work evenly between both counties. And we're around 60-40 right now. The housing stock in Racine is quite significant in regards to EBLs and the dilapidated areas and the lower income areas. So we're seeing a lot more work in that area right now. So,
how receptive are the landlords in general to this type of program? Are they neutral? Are they pro? Are they against it? I mean,
some of them are very grateful, and we have one of our biggest return on investment for this grant is returning landlords, and returning landlords that have multiple projects, so that they have multiple homes where they've seen the work that we've done. We've had the same contractors for years now. They know their work, and so they're receptive. Sometimes you get landlords that aren't receptive because they're worried about somebody from the health department coming mm-hmm. into their home and or these properties and addressing things that are outside of the things that we can really address. We're not there to really go into DCFS situations or plumbing situations or electrical situations. We will call it out and we will address it with that healthy homes portion mm-hmm. of the reporting that we do. We will identify it to some extent and say you have an electrical issue, this really needs to be checked out by an electrical person. But sometimes it's just we get pushback from that. But then a lot of the pushback we get is from tenants that don't want to cooperate for us to come into the home. They don't want to provide the income information, mm-hmm. and then they don't, you know, they're just like, why do you have to do this? But it's not really up to them, it's up to the owner. So once the owner signs it up, as soon as we get the applicant to apply and they're approved, then we can continue moving forward with the process.
Okay. So. We wish you well in this year and going forward. Thank you for the presentation this evening. It's certainly a worthwhile and
thank you.
It's a benefit for the entire community. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other businesses authorized by law? Any of the supervisors want to bring something up to the forefront? Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Supervisor Nudo makes the motion, seconded by Supervisor Byrd. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Resolution, is that signed by everybody?
No.